Hebrews chapter 4. It's been a good day in the Lord. How many times have you heard the phrase throughout your life when somebody's talking to you and they're trying to convey something to you? They say, honest to God. Honest to God. As if that's going to, more convey the truth of what they're actually telling you. These days, if somebody says, I'm a Christian preacher, I wouldn't lie to you, I grab my wallet. You know what I mean? I was born yesterday, and I've kind of learned how people do things. Years ago, before all this development was around here, we would dove hunt out here on the back of the property, and we did pretty good. It's a pretty good dove hunting area. And one year I went out there, and of course there's somebody on our property out there, and of course they don't have permission to be out there. And I went out there, talking to them at the truck, and they already had several doves down. And I said, you doing? Oh yeah, we're doing pretty good. Yeah, you say, well, this is a nice spot, isn't it? Oh yeah, it's a nice spot. I said, who owns this property? Oh, the church owns this property. The preacher's a good friend of mine, and he just went on. I said, how long you know him? Oh, I've known him for years, and known him for years, and just going on and on about it. And I let him, just gave him all the rope that he needed to fully hang himself, And it was all I could do not to smile too big, I mean, I got a pretty good poker face most of the time, but, he was just, one of those things. And, but I just gave him more and more rope. How long have you known him? What's his name? Oh, yeah, and he had my name down, that's pretty easy. And so finally, I just had all that he could stand. I held my hand out and I said, I just wanted to meet you. My name is Steve Foster. You're caught red-handed, It was so funny to see the look on his face like, now what, is he going to shoot me, or just whatever, And I said, I'm a hunter. I enjoy hunting too. And had you not lied to me, and pretended that you have known me for years, and obviously you don't know me when I'm standing in front of you, engaging you, you're going to have to pack up and leave. Not even finish the hunt. You're leaving now. And so he was really embarrassed, but it's one of those times. Honest to God, I really know the preacher. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure you do. And I'm standing right there in front of him. He doesn't know that that's actually me. So it's one of the fun times of, of life and different things. But we've heard that throughout the years. But if we are Christians, we ought to be honest to God. Christians, the very definition and understanding of being a Christian is to be a follower of Christ, to be a little Christ in that sense of a follower of Jesus Christ. But we do, though, call ourselves Christian and oftentimes worry about everything. But Christians shouldn't be worried about everything. But yet we do seem to worry about everything. We call ourselves Christians, and we hide sin in our life instead of admitting it and getting it out and dealing with it in the Lord and getting things right with God and our fellow man. We call ourselves Christians and do things, it seems, without the thought of guilt. But if Jesus were sitting in the very room, physically sitting in the room with us, we would just crawl under the chair with guilt and shame. But we still say we're Christians. We call ourselves Christians and often live in fear. You'd be amazed how many Christians just are constantly bombarded with fear. They live a life of anxiety, great anxiety. We call ourselves Christians when most of the so-called Christian churches in America still preach a type of Christianity that keeps people in bondage, just a different type of bondage. Of course, not teaching the doctrine of grace. When we are set free from sin and Satan and we serve Christ freely, why would we ever want to enter again into bondage? Why would we ever want to get wrapped up in things that stifle us from true freedom? Yet the bulk of Christian teaching in the world places people right back in a different type of bondage than they were in the beginning. It's just trading bars of bondage, trading out ropes of bondage in their life without true liberty. And by the way, true liberty, liberty's favorite word to me is bye-bye. Bye-bye. You say, hi, Liberty, and you pinch your little rose cheeks. She's so cute. And I tried to pinch Brother Joshua's cheeks. He's, get your hands off me, you know. He's a tough guy, you know. But I'm sorry. I said, Josh, Noah. Think about Josh. Noah's cheeks. Well, I'm trying to pinch his cheeks. You have to get through all the fur, you know. Sorry, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that either. I say things when I get tired, especially. I say things even when I'm not tired, I shouldn't say. But when I'm tired, I especially say things I shouldn't say. Some people pray, I think, for me to be tired. I think you get a kick out of that, you sick people. The bulk of Christian teaching in the world places people back in bondage. I hope you realize that. Works-based salvation is another form of bondage. We are set free in reality from bondage and condemnation, and we are offered a perfect rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Josh was playing, and Josh's song fed right in the spirit of what Stephanie was playing. I just, you know, that's what I felt in my spirit. She is playing, I'm like, that's peaceful, restful. In the Lord, it just, job well done. And we are called to enjoy that liberty. But yet a lot of people still do not enjoy that liberty. This one group teaches, well, you've got to come to this meeting, confess your sins to a priest for you to be secure and have liberty. And then, of course, you don't feel liberty. It's just another form of bondage. This group teaches that you have to live a sinless life, a life of sinless perfection. Of course, they can't either, but they pretend that they do so that you might, but you find you never can. And so you just live in a tightrope and you never sense the freedom that they seem to talk about. Another group teaches you have to belong to their church to go to heaven. And you say, well, you know, do you have to be in good standing? How good of a standing do you have to be in with that church to go to heaven? And then you go to a funeral of that particular denomination and you find out they teach that even doing that, there's still no guarantee that you're going to heaven. So you end up like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, just wondering when the swish is going to end with yow. Such belief is folly, it's vanity, and it yet leads to bondage and a lack of rest, true rest for our soul. Don't you feel that it is true that if you can sing, it's well with my soul, it's well with my soul. And what that actually means, if you understand what that means, the reality of it, that it's well. That Jesus has taken care of all of that business for me, salvation. Jesus has taken care of it. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. I don't have an IOU. Jesus paid it all. Account paid in full. And how freeing that is if you understand it and embrace it. It can be real in your life, but you don't embrace it. Some people are living behind a cage of pretense. The bars are really not there, but they think they're there. Just the colors sometimes of the ropes have changed. Now, instead of the Jewish law holding the captives, the rope together, and or a false doctrine of a particular denomination holding that, people still do want to be free. I believe it's one of the things. I was talking to Brother Daniel earlier about President Bush years ago, and he made the case and constantly made the case on a regular basis that it was his persuasion that people of the world wanted to be free. They want to be free. And I do believe there is a desire of humanity that they would like to be free. They may not know how to get there. That's our job, to teach them how to get there. But I think that it's true. They have a desire to be free. But individuals and groups, they offer mankind a form of Christianity with just a rope change. And that goes on all over the place and all over the world in a variety of different sizes and shapes and colors of ropes. They sing, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest, but they seem to know very little about the rest of God, which truly comes from putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and having it all washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. They seem to have a very little understanding of that. that Christ can not only save your soul, but He can keep your soul, and you're safe in the arms of Jesus. Truly, truly safe. The longer we go in this wicked world, more and more people are abused. I get it. I understand. And people who have been abused have a hard time enjoying the rest of God. It's because they have all these lingering things that come from things that they didn't cause and they didn't make happen. Somebody else perpetuated that upon them. But it's one of the tragedies of a depraved world in which is not getting better. It's getting worse. We just have people that don't want to expose it as much. And so they kind of keep it out of sight for the most part. Unless you see the Bible, unless you see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's been well said, there's nothing, no other word for grace better than amazing, the amazing grace of God. Once saved, you are always saved. You cannot be unsaved once you're saved. You will be guaranteed the rest of God if you believe and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It will be a reality for your life. Now, you may not enjoy that reality because of a lack of understanding of what you've actually entered into. But you have entered into Christ. You have entered into His rest. When you welcome Jesus into your heart, He takes you up in His bosom. He takes you up in His arms. And though sometimes you don't really feel safe, oh, you are very safe. It's been well said, safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in the arms of our Lord. The Lord said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But we need to embrace this freedom. We have every reason to be honest with one another and honest even more so with God of where we are and where we are in our understanding. And this understanding and growth is going to happen by our understanding with God's Word. I was sharing with someone not long ago. I think it was Aaliyah's baby sister, who's got a beau, by the way. Boy, she's a happy girl. She got her beau. Boyfriend. He's a construction worker up there. He was at their house when we got back from the wedding, and Dory and I drove back in the rental car just a little bit earlier than they did. He was sitting out front. So I said, I'm going to have some fun with this guy, you know. So I walked over there, and of course, and he kind of slowly rolled down the window. Who is this, you know? And I said, roll down the window. He rolled down the window slowly. And I told him who I was, and I said, you know, there's a little dark-headed girl. She's at a wedding I was just at, and just want you to know. She said she's going to just go on home with us to Texas, and she's going to be leaving Michigan. And he went, boy, he didn't like that at all. And I found out she thought a lot of him, but by telling that story, I found out he thought a lot of her, and he didn't want to lose her to Texas, I'll tell you. I thought he was going to get out, and I was going to have to whip him, but he was too tall. I decided he needs to stay in that car. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the writer says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So not all are going to be found there. Now they could be, but they're not. But it's not Christ's fault, it's our fault. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. A lot of people have heard the gospel, but it didn't profit them. Why? Because it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, what faith is that? That's their faith. It's their faith. I realize every good and every perfect gift comes from God. I get that. I understand that. But it's their faith. And they have to respond in their faith to the word given them by Christ for salvation to occur. He says, For we which have believed do enter into rest. So if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have entered into that rest. Now you may not feel that. You may not necessarily believe that, but it's a spiritual fact. It's a biblical fact. You have entered in to rest, as He said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered to his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, in the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now the desired blessing of this eternal rest of God that is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ and is available to all, and God's desire that all would enter into this rest, it's God's heart, God's desire that all men would be saved. That's God's desire. But man refuses and man resists the things of God on a regular basis. So many fail to enter into that rest, of course, missing that rest for a variety of different reasons. And sometimes they trade ropes of bondage, going from one bondage, form of bondage to another, and never entering in to the Lord's rest. Now the Bible teaches us that God created this world. I know what some scientists have to say about it, and I don't really care. I don't really care. I'm not shaken. I'm not pushed back. I still believe the book. And I've lived long enough to see a lot of people who challenge the Word of God having to eat crow. This one says, oh, that civilization didn't even exist. And then they find a pot. Pottery. And they say, lo and behold, here it is. You know, there are people now think that they have discovered Sodom and Gomorrah. And a lot of skeptics, oh, this is just a fearful story, you know, to bring about people and make them fearfully run to God. And then they find some evidence. And wait a minute, what are we going to do with this? I think I might better change my story. So I've lived long enough to see a lot of things like that. And not that I necessarily needed that, because I have a childlike faith. Now, I don't have a childish faith. I have a childlike faith. I believe that God has saved my soul and gave me His Word, gave you His Word. I believe He's a good God. And I believe He tells the truth. I don't think He makes up little stories to make people feel good. I believe He tells us the truth. The Bible says God created for 6 days the heaven and the earth. And He said He rested on the seventh day. He rested. This is the rest from which we are to gain insight as the true believers for us. You see, in a similar way, the believer comes to the point of rest in Christ like God rested after all His creative work for 6 days. He rested. The Bible goes on to say the rest is possible, but tells us not all will be found in this rest, and not all will be not found, therefore not enjoy that rest. Now that rest, if we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, is ours because we belong to Christ. It's ours because it comes with Christ. It's sort of like you think about all that comes in Christ. Sometimes you, in witnessing somebody, you keep adding all these things into the pages of the Bible, and you say, now, if you receive Christ, and you extend the whole Bible out, just as an object lesson, when you receive Christ, you get all that's in here. You get rest. by receiving Christ. You get peace by receiving Christ. You get forgiveness of sin. You see, by putting in the pages, you get forgiveness of sin by receiving Christ, right? You get heaven as your eternal home when you receive Christ. It is all because of Christ and what is all in Him. We who enjoy this pure rest today, who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive us of our sin as sinners, we know that we're in that rest and we're justified, and we know that by the study of God's Word. When I was talking to Elaine the other day up there, I was talking to her baby sister, and I admitted that I struggled, as many Bible college students, matter of fact, I struggled with the idea of eternal security. And I was admitting that I too had hang-ups with that. And I confessed that, you know, I would do something or think something, and I would think to myself, how in the world could somebody saved have a thought like that? And then Satan would use that to try to put me in a cage. And I realized through the study of justification, especially Romans and Galatians, personal Bible study in Romans and Galatians pertaining to justification, that if God justified Abraham and he was yet a sinner, he justified me in the very same way. And I realized after that time of setting in my life that I could never lose God's salvation. Never, no matter what. Now you would say, well, that kind of makes you want to misbehave because you know that you're saved. No, the effect was just the opposite. Because I knew what great gift I had received, I didn't want to disappoint one who would do something like that for me. So I wanted to try to live a life pleasing unto the Lord because I wanted to please Him who had saved me and given me total, permanent forgiveness of sin. Not only that, the very righteousness of His Son imparted to my life. So people think, you know, well, if you teach eternal security, you're going to be, you know, stirring people up. Well, if I'm always saved, I get to go out and do whatever I want. Not that they understand. They'll want to honor God, who would do something so marvelous and so wonderful to forgive them for all of their sin. How could we not want to please one that has done that for us? How could we not want to live a life for His honor and for His glory? Now, the Hebrews, they had the big problem, of course, of drifting back into all of the do's and don'ts, of course, of the law, and never really entering into the rest that was provided to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The great theologian and Paul in Romans 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." There is no condemnation. You will never be charged guilty as a sinner by God. Now Satan, the accuser, he'll do that, but he's a liar. He's a liar and the father of lies. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul said in verse 22, "For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he is called being free is Christ's servant." I am a servant by choice to God. And because I choose to serve God, I choose to serve whom He loves, and that's His people. I choose to serve. Now, to prompt us all into this true rest, the writer of Hebrews gives us two things that we would understand. The first we see in verse 13, that we are exposed by God. We are exposed by God. Now, when you think about this like, you know, a doctor, and it's critical time. They don't have time for all the pleasantries of let's get a little blanket and let's get this little, you know, covering over here that has a hole in it, that everything else is covered but what we need to work on right here. because we want to be proper, right? And I'm all for that. But when it comes time, hey, we need to get into this and we need to get into it now. What do they do? Well, I'll tell you what they do. It's open. They need to see what's going on. They need to see the whole picture. Exposure. We are exposed, all people are exposed by God. Everything is uncovered and everything is laid bare. That's the only way. Under such a circumstance, a doctor or nursing staff or whatever, that's the only way they can make an evaluation. They've got to see what the damage is. They've got to know. Not, well, would you mind? They don't ask. They just get those scissors out and start cutting or ripping. Get it off. Let's see where the bleeding is and what's going on. What are the injuries? Look at verse 13. The writer says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are, what? Naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, sin leads to pretension. Pretension, of course, leads to passive fake Christianity. Cover-ups. It's pretense. Well, I am, but we're not. Well, I am, but we're not. What did Adam and Eve do after they ate the forbidden fruit? What do they do? What's the first thing they did? Here comes the voice of God walking in the cooling of the garden. What they do? Try to hide. But God knew exactly where they were. Now, he calls them, but that's not for his sake, that's for theirs. Because he's God. He knows exactly where they are. It's like, no, I'm not playing hide and seek. I don't know where you are. Y'all come on out now. Let me, you know. I imagine the Lord walking. He says, Adam, where art thou? And he's looking at the tree that they're hiding behind. Adam, where art thou? He knows he's right there. He knows exactly where he is. And he's just waiting for him to step out behind that tree. He knows exactly where he is. He's already exposed before he even realizes it. According to the Bible, we hide because we sin and we think that we can hide from God. How silly to think that we could hide from God. Now, we can hide from parents. We can hide from people. One of the funniest things I ever did in my life, it really wasn't funny, it was dangerous, but it turned out to be funny after the fact. You know, one of those things, you could have been hurt, could have been killed. But that's kind of funny today. But years ago, my mother, she would always trade a particular meat market in Jacksonville, Florida. And this little meat market, it was just a meat market, a very small grocery store, but mostly it was a meat market where everybody went to get their meats. Thus, meat market. And the driveway going to the meat market, just all of a sudden it come up and it kind of went up pretty sharp up to the front and the little curbs. And she would go in, you know, park, and if she was just running in real quick to get something, she would leave us in the car. And, of course, I got crawled over the back seat, from the back seat to the front seat. You know, that's when they didn't have consoles. You had to really crawl over the seat. So you have to do one of these whole things to get in the front seat. And I get in the front seat, and I reach up there, and, you know, you grab the shifting column, and I just... And that car started rolling backwards. I'm like, well, I was too short to reach the pedal that I knew to stop the car. So it just rolled back. And I'm like, yeah. So we got out pretty much across that entire parking lot and somebody ripped the car door open, a woman ripped the car door open and slammed the brakes, slammed the gear shift up and put it in park, and then started bawling me out, boy. Now, during those years, I always kept a comb. I still use these combs. The little black comb about like that. On one end, it has a little coarser teeth in it. The other one has a little fine teeth about like that. And I remember, as I still remember to this day, I got that comb out and I held that comb down over my eyes. And I could see her, but I could swear she couldn't see me. You know, and she was bawling me out, and I was looking at her, is she going to hit me, you know, and I was looking through that comb, and she said, are you looking at me? And I said, of course I'm looking at you, you know, and hiding. I thought, just a child, and that's how silly we are when we think we can hide from God, you know. How many of you have stories like that with your children or grandchildren? They think they're hid from you, and they're right out there in the open. They think they're hid from you, and you can't see them. Yes, you did, and just and I had that comb. So if I really ever get in trouble with the church, and you see me do that, you know what I'm doing. I'm trying to hide from you. How silly. How childish. And that's what we really are, silly and childish, when we tried to hide from God. It's an impossible thing. You might as well deal with it. We're going to be exposed by God. Some people spend all their days hiding, all their life. They're just running, hiding here and there, hiding here and there, hiding here and there. Their lives are nothing but a charade. Their lives are fake. Their lives are of hypocrisy. And it's a very sad life. Sin, of course, is ultimately exposed like it was with King David. The Bible teaches us, be sure that your sin will find you out. But we think, well, maybe not my sin. It's just somebody else's sin. Somebody else's sin, but not my sin. But God looks behind our mask, determined to deal with the real person. I understand our president now wants to give new shots to everybody and bring out all the masks again. And, I was hoping we'd get past that. But Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now the instrument, of course, that he uses is the two-edged sword that reveals. It reveals. I made mention today, I think it was this morning, one of our members said, when you preach, it just feels like you're preaching straight to me. Oh boy, it just feels like you just know everything that's going on in my life. Somebody's writing you notes and telling you everything. No. That's the Holy Spirit doing His work. But you are exposed, but not really to me. He is the one that exposes you and exposes you through the Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, a lot of smart people try to distinguish between the soul and spirit. Not quite so easy to do when you get right down to it, but the Word of God can do that. It cuts so fine. It can separate things that we have a very difficult time trying to separate, the inner man, the joints and the marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we're exposed. You might as well get used to the idea that you're exposed to God. The sheet's off, the clothes are off, everything lays bare to God. He sees everything. And number two, then we're examined by God. Now, if I were to examine you and I were to rip off your clothes and say, okay, I've got to see what's wrong, I would probably miss a whole lot. And I may miss something that's very critical because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse. I mean, if I see blood pumping out of a spot, I'll stick my thumb in it and try to hold it out. Okay, I can do that. I know that much, but there's a lot that I do not know. But when we are examined by the great physician, he doesn't miss anything. He doesn't miss anything. Now, we're not going to give an account to a board of directors. We're not going to give an account to the United Nations. We're not going to give an account to denominational leaders. But we're going to give an account to God, and God's going to examine us. He's going to examine us, and He's going to get His hands on us, and He's going to examine us, and He's going to find every fault, every issue. It all lays bare. Again, verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him, listen, with whom we have to do. There's no getting around it. There's no getting around it. Everything's going to be laid bare, and everything's going to be examined by God. So, if we want to be honest to God, I've got a lot more here, but I'm just going to close for tonight. If we're going to be honest to God, we've got to be truly honest and knowing that God sees it all. God has examined, and God knows everything. And I'm here to tell you, that's not bad, that's good. Okay? A lot of people run, they try to hide, they don't want to be exposed, okay? It's uncomfortable. But I want you to know something. God is the professional of all professionals. You understand what I'm saying? There are some things, wisecracks, and maybe doctors and nurses might say in our world. But God is not of this world. He is the professional of all professionals. And it's not bad to be exposed unto God. He saw you when you came into the world, and He knows exactly what you look like. Grins and all. And then He puts His hands on you and He examines you. And a lot of people think, well, that's bad. No, that's not bad. That's actually good. Because we have to remember, who are we exposed to and who are we being examined by? And it's a loving God who wants to heal us, give us forgiveness, give us peace, and give us this rest. So don't chafe, don't run, don't push away from God. He's the one who can bring you into the rest. Some people, they need Him desperately, but they just keep shoving Him away, shoving Him away, shoving Him away. They're desperate. They're in such trouble. If they would just allow the Lord to put their hands on them, He could bring healing to their hearts and lives. But they resist, they resist, they resist. And they go from one rope of bondage or one cage of bondage to another and wonder, why am I so unhappy? You need a holy encounter with Jesus. You need a holy encounter and truly need to repent of sin. Lay it all out to the Lord. I am a sinner and I deserve hell. But I know You died in my place. And I sure accept Your evaluation of me as a sinner. And I desperately need You to lay Your hands on me and fix my soul. And if you'll do that, you'll have just the faith to trust in Dr. Jesus. He'll heal you. And He'll give you peace and rest. Don't you like rest? Don't you feel when you get a great night's rest, you know, and man, you feel like $1 million. Doesn't that feel good? That's what happens spiritually when we truly let Jesus do His work in our life. And I trust you have allowed the Lord to do that to your life and in your life. But if not, you know it's not too late. Say, Lord, I had nothing. Do Your work. Bring peace. Bring rest to my spirit. Rest to my soul. I would like to be able to sing, "It is well with my soul," and mean it. Because a lot of people sing it, they can't mean it. They have no misgivings. They know that it's not well with their soul. But it could be, and it could be today. It could be this very night that you leave here knowing that it's well with your soul. If you're not saved, would you be saved tonight? Would you ask the Lord to save you? Would you ask the Lord, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved"? Would you call on the Lord tonight? If you do not know, the Lord is your Savior. What better time to be saved than right now? Today is the accepted time. Now, right now. What better time than right now to be saved? Lord of Heaven,